shelf. Read the book of Revelations for yourself.
Welcome to Streams in the Desert Live, an interactive prophetic talk show with pastor, evangelist, and prophetic teacher, Dana Bohansky, senior pastor of Streams in the Desert Ministries and House Church, where we look at the headlines of our daily news in light of Bible prophecy and give you, the listener, an opportunity to call in to ask questions and share information regarding the signs of the times. This ministry is dedicated to the preaching and teaching of the unadulterated word of the one and only true and living God under the power and anointing of God's Holy Ghost. Streams in the Desert Live is an expansion of Streams in the Desert Ministries. Now, here's your host, Pastor Dana.
Shalom and blessings in the name of the Lord Jesus. This is Pastor Dana, and I once again would like to thank you for joining me today, November 23rd, 2016, for the Streams in the Desert Live Internet Radio Broadcast, coming to you live from the beautiful and breathtaking studios of StarWorldWideNetworks.com, where we look at the headlines of our daily news in light of Bible prophecy. Today's topic title is The Danger Zone. But before we get started, let us pray. Father God, we humbly come before your throne this day. Lord God, we bow down spiritually speaking. We ask that the power and anointing of your Holy Spirit permeate this place today. Let the power and anointing of your Holy Spirit go out around this world today, opening the eyes and ears and hearts of your people, Lord, before time runs out. We are at 11:59 in split seconds, just before the imminent return of the Lord and only Savior of all mankind, who is none other than Jesus Christ. And right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, we command that every foul spirit, every hindering spirit, every spirit of lust, control, and pride, and wickedness, and demonic activity, and antichrist, and lying and deceiving spirits, spirits of homosexuality, witchcraft, Satanism, and every other foul and evil spirit be bound this very hour in the name of Jesus Christ. And any other disruptive spirit that would try to invade this place today, be bound in the name of Jesus Christ and this very moment. And we call it done in the name of Jesus. And we plead the blood of Jesus against you, Satan. You must flee. And with that said, my friends, greetings to you all once again from wherever you are in the world, as you join me, your host, Pastor Dana, today for another compelling episode of Streams in the Desert Live Internet Radio Broadcast. As we open the show here, one day before Thanksgiving 2016, on the 23rd day of November, my friends, we are now a mere 58 days away from the inauguration day, Friday, January 20th, 2017. Today, I have been sent by the Lord God to put us all in remembrance of the fact that we are now in what our first piece of the day describes as the danger zone. With that said, let us dive right into the swath of what will prove to be a wealth of knowledge. This piece was written by Mr. Michael Snyder of the economiccollapseblog.com, dated November 17, 2016, and is titled, Why We Are Still in the Danger Zone Until January 20th, 2017. Of which Mr. Snyder opens by sharing, Donald Trump is not the president yet, and Barack Obama could still do an extraordinary amount of damage during his last 2 months in the White House. Mr. Snyder continues by saying, prior to the election, I described the period of time ending on January 20th as the danger zone, and my outlook has not changed. Just because Donald Trump was victorious on election night, Mr. Snyder says, as you will see, the next 2 months are an absolutely critical time. And if we can get through January 20th, 2017 without something major happening, perhaps, he says, we can breathe a little bit easier, at least for a while. On the other hand, he says the events of the next 2 months could easily plunge this country, could plunge this country into a period of unprecedented chaos. A lot of people are feeling really good about things right now because of Trump's victory. But now is definitely not a time to relax and let down our guard. And the truth is that Donald Trump has not even won the presidency yet. As I detailed shortly before the election night, the next president will not be determined until December 19th, when the Electoral College meets. He then goes on to say, on Monday, December 19th, the members of the Electoral College will gather in all 50 state capitals to cast their votes for president. It is then, and only then, he says, that the next president of the United States will be elected. Next, Mr. Snyder points out that throughout our history, electors, as they are called, have followed the will of the people more than 99% of the time. But there have been faithless electors before, and if Democrats can get enough of them to switch sides in December, it is still possible, though he says not probable, and I agree 100%, that Hillary Clinton could win the election. He says one petition that is asking electors to switch their votes has already been signed by more than, yeah, this, my friends, 4 million people. So they say. The petition claims that Donald Trump is unfit to serve as president and that since Hillary Clinton won the popular vote, which I heard is not really true, by a wide margin, she should be elected president instead. He then shares, the following comes from a USA Today article entitled, Could the Electoral College Elect Hillary Clinton Instead of Donald Trump? A change.org petition now signed by more than 4.3 million people encourages members of the Electoral College to cast their votes for Hillary Clinton when the college meets on December 19th. The petitions argue that Donald Trump is unfit to serve and that Secretary Clinton won the popular vote and should be president. This piece continues by stating, if they all vote the way their state voted, Donald Trump will win. The petition states, however, they can vote for Hillary Clinton if they choose, even in states where that is not allowed. Their votes would still be counted. They would simply pay a small fine, which we can be sure Clinton supporters will be glad to pay. We are calling on the electors to ignore their state's votes and cast their ballots for Secretary Clinton. Mr. Snyder then shares, personally, I don't believe that this is going to happen. And I agree, my friends. They may be able to flip a few electors, but the gap is in the electoral votes is almost certainly too wide for the Democrats to overcome. However, he says, that is not the only concern we are facing. Ever since his victory on November 8th, there have been a multitude of violent threats against Donald Trump and his family. And without a doubt, there are a lot of very powerful people that would be very interested in finding a way to keep Donald Trump from getting to Inauguration Day. So let us pray, he says, for his safety and for the safety of his family. Mr. Snyder says, if Donald Trump were to be incapacitated after he wins the Electoral College vote on December 19th, Mike Pence would take his place. But if something were to happen to him before December 19th, his electors would be free to vote for another candidate, including Hillary Clinton. If everything goes smoothly and Donald Trump successfully makes it to Inauguration Day, he could be facing one of the biggest political protests in United States history. Mr. Snyder as well states in an article for the Most Important News, which is another publication that he writes for, he says, I showed that the far left is calling for thousands upon thousands of protesters to descend upon Washington, D.C. on January 20th, which, remember, is a Friday, too. That's really interesting, in order to disrupt the inauguration festivities as much as possible. He continues by stating this giant protest is being organized by the usual suspects, and they have already put up Facebook pages, websites, and hashtag DisturbJ20 is being widely used all over the social media. Traditionally, Inauguration Day is a day of joy and celebration, but the far left seem intent on transforming it into a massive riot. Mr. Snyder ends this thought by saying, let us hope that they are not successful. Next, Mr. Snyder outlines, as he says, another reason why we will be in the danger zone over the next 2 months is because of what Barack Obama may choose to do in the United Nations. Time to listen up again, my friends. He says now that it looks like Donald Trump is going to be our next president, the international pressure on Barack Obama is to do something at the United Nations regarding the Israeli-Palestinian conflict before the end of his term has come. Because even more, it's become more intense that they want him to do something. And this is something that Trump and his advisors are actively concerned about. In fact, states Mr. Snyder, I came across an article earlier today that discussed the fact that Trump team is warning Obama, quote, against making moves on the Israeli-Palestinian conflict in his last months in office, saying that pushing agendas contrary to the presidential elect's position would not be in the spirit of the transition. Trump, national security advisor for Donald Trump, last week warned the Obama administration against making moves on the Israeli-Palestinian conflict in his last months in office. On big transformative issues, he says, where President Obama and President-elect Trump are not in alignment, I don't think it's in keeping with the spirit of the transition to try to push through an agenda items that are contrary to the president-elect's positions, the advisor told Politico. Mr. Snyder says, specifically, the concern is that Obama may decide to support a UN Security Council resolution that would, listen to this, my friends, this is very important, this is why it's so important, officially recognize a Palestinian state, set the parameters for a two-state solution, and establish East Jerusalem as the capital for the new Palestinian state. Just a few weeks ago, he says, an article in the Wall Street Journal entitled Obama's Israel Surprise reported that this is one of the options that the Obama administration is strongly considering right now. A UN Security Council resolution, listen up, my friends, would be legally binding on both Israel and the Palestinians, and it would be something that President Trump would not be able to undo. My friends, you better have your life right with the Lord Jesus Christ, because, you know, God could allow him to do this. And if God allows him to do that right now, your time and your days are numbered. You're going to have just a little bit more time to get ready before the Lord Jesus Christ comes. Because I'm telling you, that would be a sealing of the deal. And we would be starting in to a time that's headed for, if not it itself, the 7 years of tribulation, or going even further into the second 3.5 years of the tribulation, as known as the Great Tribulation or the time of Jacob's trouble, my friends, because that right there would definitely bring trouble, not only to Israel, but to America for doing it. The rest of the UN Security Council is eager to support such a resolution, and so the decision about whether this resolution is going to happen or not sits in the hands of Barack Obama. But thankfully, it's in the hands of the Lord, and we better stay prayed up and ready to go up, my friends, because he does have the last say so, because he knows this whole plan, he knows the beginning. He knows the end, rather, from the beginning. He set it in place even before the foundations of this world were ever laid. And at this moment, we do not know what he is going to do, says Mr. Schneider. The following comes from an article by Leo Homan. The Wall Street Journal reported 1 week before Tuesday's election that Obama had requested his aides provide him with a list of options to deal with the decades-old Israeli-Palestinian conflict. Mr. Homan states in his piece that Israeli diplomats, according to the Wall Street Journal story, are preparing for the possibility that a lame duck president, Obama, may try to force a diplomatic resolution for Israel and the Palestinians at the United Nations. He as well stated that the president is presumably now reviewing those options, which number about half a dozen. He may be preparing to recognize a Palestinian state at the UN before he leaves office, the Wall Street Journal reported. Mr. Schneider, at this point, interjects that if Barack Obama decided to divide the land of Israel at the United Nations, it will be the worst decision of his entire presidency. I have warned repeatedly, he says, that all hell will break loose in America if it happens. And it will be so, and it will also mean that many of the events that I've warned about in my latest book, which is called Verdict of the Rapture, are much closer than many had anticipated. My friends, aside from his book, the rapture could be closer. So I think I'd keep my eyes on that as well. He as well states, but if we can get to January 20th and the land of Israel has not been divided yet, we may be able to rest easy for at least a little while. Because Trump has already said that he would not support a UN Security Council resolution that forces a solution on the Israelis and the Palestinians. At this point, Mr. Schneider reminds us that when politicians are going to do something that they know people won't like, they tend to try to sneak it through around the holidays, when a lot of people aren't paying attention. For example, yesterday, he says, I discussed how the legislation that created the Federal Reserve was rushed through Congress right before Christmas in 1913. It was September 23rd, 1913, my friends. Mr. Schneider begins a wrap, my friends, on this piece by stating, so keep your eyes on the period around Thanksgiving. And I think that was December 23rd, my friends, not September. Thanksgiving and the period around Christmas, he says. If Barack Obama is going to stab Israel in the back, it may happen during one of those times. He further states, my hope is that we can get through January 20th without anything going seriously wrong. If that happens, he says, I know that I will be very thankful. And I agree with him, my friends, because that's how tense it really is. He says, and as I detailed in a previous article, Donald Trump will be 70 years old, 7 months and 7 days. 70 years, 7 months and 7 days old on his first day in office on January 21st. And that will happen in the year of 5777 on the Hebrew calendar. So, my friends, things are lining up to be anything is possible right now. And, you know, nothing has to happen for the Lord to come in the rapture. So be rapture ready, as they say, right now, here and today, because you may not have tomorrow. Mr. Schneider then asks this question. Could that be a sign of better things ahead, as many believe? Or will the next 2 months set off a chain of events that will absolutely be disastrous for this nation? He concludes his piece by stating, I believe that this is an absolutely critical moment in our history. And let us hope that our leaders make the right decision. And on that spine-chilling note, my friends, I'll be right back after the break to shed a little more light upon that which may very well await us from now and to January 20th, 2017 and beyond. My friends, there is a purpose and a time and a season for everything that happens under heaven. And I told you before that we are in a new season as of November 1st. So it's time to watch out because we're still in the year of black days ahead. And they're not going to instantly stop at December 31st, my friends, I have a sneaking suspicion that they will continue, and they may just continue to get darker and darker as we go into the year of 2017, which will be the year of the dawning of the cashless society, which is exploding all around us right now. And America is the last to come in at this point, from what I can see. And it will happen soon, and very soon, my friends, because when the Lord begins to warn us vividly like that, it means it's even at the door. Okay, my friends, a week or so ago, I spoke to you briefly about what is now being planned and called the Purple Revolution, of which is said in some circles to arrive in this country on Inauguration Day, January 20th, 2017, of which our next piece, Mr. Michael Snyder, lays out for us. And it was written November 13th, 2016, posted to the economiccollapseblog.com, titled, Democrats Are Now Calling for a Revolution in the Streets. And believe, he says, and I believe that they are quite serious. Of which Mr. Snyder thusly opens by stating, the surprise victory by Donald Trump on November 8th has spawned a series of violent protests and riots all over the nation as stunned leftists continue to throw the largest post-election temper tantrum in U.S. history. Protesters in large cities all across America have been disrupting public transportation, looting stores, hurling objects at the police, and burning Trump effigies. There have even been shootings at anti-Trump rallies in Seattle and in Portland. Hundreds of protesters have been arrested so far, and organizers are promising that this is just the beginning. Meanwhile, large numbers of enraged leftists are physically threatening Trump on Twitter, and some are even calling for a violent revolution. Sadly, he says, I believe that they are quite serious about this. Even some big celebrity names, he says, are starting to use the word revolution in messages to their followers. On Twitter, Katy Perry has ominously warned that the revolution is coming. And the comedian Sarah Silverman has boldly declared that Trump gets a chance to hear us or else we are them. The letter R, as in if he fails, she says, revolution in the streets. Moving ahead, Mr. Snyder says, of course, other leftists are seeking less violent ways to oppose Trump. There is a major push to use the Electoral College to block a Trump presidency. If that fails, there are many hoping to immediately impeach Trump once he takes office. And other activists, such as former Labor Secretary Robert Reich, are calling for a new third party if their planned post-election takeover of the Democratic Party is not successful. But for many on the radical left, the time for patience is over. He says the Not My President movement is taking off like a rocket. And one survey found that only 58% of all Clinton supporters consider Trump's victory to be legitimate. A protest near Trump Tower in New York City on Sunday, he says, drew approximately 25,000 people. And USA Today reported that the anti-Trump protest in Portland, Oregon, on Saturday night rapidly devolved into a riot. It is becoming clear, he says, that these protesters are not going away anytime soon. And some are even beginning to refer to this movement as the Purple Revolution. No sooner had Trump been declared the 45th president of the United States, Soros-funded political operatives launched their activists to disrupt Trump during Obama's lame duck period and thereafter. Mr. Schneider explains, the swiftness of the Purple Revolution is reminiscent of this speed at which protesters hit the streets of Kiev, the Ukrainian capital, in two Orange Revolutions sponsored by Soros. One in 2004 and the other 10 years later in 2014. As the Clintons were embracing purple in New York, street demonstrations, some violent, all coordinated by the Soros-funded MoveOn.org, and Black Lives Matter broke out in New York, Los Angeles, Chicago, Oakland, Nashville, Cleveland, Washington, Austin, Seattle, Philadelphia, Richmond, St. Paul, Kansas City, Omaha, San Francisco, and some 200 other cities across the U.S. With that said, Mr. Schneider asks, so could we actually see a violent revolution in the streets of America? Is the radical left really so horrified by the prospects of the Trump presidency that they would actually be willing to engage in a prolonged campaign of chaos, violence, and physical intimidation? He then says, well, the Oath Keepers, which are a group of former police officers and military and first responders of all kinds. It's not just some activist group or something. This is very legitimate. He says the Oath Keepers are so concerned about what this movement could become that they have initiated an intelligence gathering operation that they are calling Operation HYPO, H-Y-P-O. Clearly, the Oath Keepers, he says, we cannot simply sit around and watch while the enemies of liberty work to use violence to initiate a communistic revolution in our country. As a result, the intelligence being provided by our Operation Sabbat operatives, we have initiated Operation HYPO. We have allowed our personnel to burrow deep inside these protest organizations to collect information regarding tactics, motivations, schedules, and logistics. We had operatives at the planning meetings for the protests that occurred last evening in Baltimore, Maryland, and Philadelphia, PA. Our operatives have also penetrated numerous other planning organizations and cities across America for OPSSEC, which is Operation Security Purposes. The precise list of cities we are operating in will not be made publicly disclosed. Mr. Schneider returned by stating, and one thing that we already know is that the radical left is hoping to organize the largest political protest in United States history in Washington, D.C. on Inauguration Day. He has well said, I will be writing about that later today on the Most Important News, that other website that he writes for. Mr. Schneider then added, the election of Donald Trump has been the single most galvanizing event for the radical left that we have seen in decades. One of the early leaders of the Not My President movement is filmmaker Michael Moore. And the following are three of his key action points, which he feels must be implemented immediately. Number one, must quickly and decisively form an opposition movement, the likes of which haven't been seen since the 1960s. I will do my part, he says, to help lead this, as I am sure many others, Bernie, Elizabeth Warren, Move On, the hip hop community, DFA, etc., will too. The core of this opposition force will be fueled by, get this, my friends, this is dangerous, and this is because people are walking around here without knowing who the Lord Jesus Christ is. This force will be fueled, he says, by young people who, as with Occupy Wall Street and Black Lives Matter, don't tolerate BS and are relentless in their resistance of authority. They have no interest in compromising with racists and people who are against women to prepare. They're ready. Number two is he says that they need to prepare to impeach Trump, just as the Republicans were already planning to do with President Hillary from day one. We must organize the apparatus that will bring changes against him, charges against him, when he violates his oath and breaks the law. And then we must remove him from office. Doesn't this sound childish to my friends? There's nothing that these people can do. This is ridiculous. Number three, must commit right now to a vigorous fight, including civil disobedience if necessary. If necessary, you've already done it. And you say you're going to do it again, which will block any and all Donald Trump's Supreme Court nominees who do not meet our approval. Are you kidding me? These people need to get a life. We demand, he says, the Democrats in the Senate aggressively filibuster any nominee who supports Citizens United or who opposes the rights of women, immigrants, and the poor. This is non-negotiable. Hey, you know what? You can only not go to the bathroom for so long, my friends. You can only not drink or eat for so long, my friends, before you drop dead. So if they drop dead in there, I mean, that is really going to be a feat. I don't think it's going to work. Mr. Snyder once again steps in to say, but of course, other liberals are still in the shock and disbelief stage. As I have stated before, Americans were more emotionally invested in this election than they had been in any election in decades. And the aftermath has not been pretty, he says. Mr. Snyder as well states, this has been particularly true on college campuses. Oh, you're going to get a hoot out of this, my friends. This is really something. All over the United States, all over the nation, he says, according to the New York Post, college administrators have been going to extraordinary lengths to soothe the deep emotional pain that many of their students are experiencing. He writes, the University of Michigan offered its traumatized students coloring books and Play-Doh to calm them. Mr. Snyder says, are these students in college or kindergarten? The University of Kansas reminded its stressed out kids that therapy dogs, a regular campus feature, were available. Cornell University, an Ivy League school, held a campus-wide cry-in with officials handing out tissue and hot chocolate. Tufts University offered its devastated students arts and crafts sessions. Okay, he says, not kindergarten, more like summer camp. At the campuses from elite Yale to Connecticut to Iowa and beyond, professors canceled classes and or exams either because students asked or because instructors were just too distraught to teach. Mr. Snyder as well takes special note in when he shares, and it is also being reported that suicide hotlines are ringing off the hook all over the nation. My friend, you know how there's a saying called the devil's in the details? Well, I got news for you. Satan is in these people, and he's taking their lives. As he heads towards ending this piece, Mr. Snyder makes this observation when he says, we have never seen anything like this ever before. And I have a feeling that this is not, this not my president movement is going to absolutely dwarf the Occupy Wall Street and Black Lives Matter movements. And, considering the very high levels of anger, frustration, and pain these radical lefts are feeling, it is easy to see how this movement could become very violent. Many patriots, conservatives, and Christians were hoping that Donald Trump could bring America together and lead us into a new era of peace and prosperity. But the radical left already hates Trump more than any president that has ever been before him. It isn't going to take much, Mr. Snyder says, to push the radical left over the edge And if that happens, we could see endless chaos, violence, and civil unrest for the next 4 years. And beyond, my friends. This is where we're going to have American winter here instead of an Arab Spring? It's not a joke. I mean, this could kill people, many people. Just think of the elderly that could be vulnerable walking down streets or anything else just because these people are demon-possessed. My friends, the Lord really has us on a roll today because, speaking of peace and prosperity, our next rendering by, yes, you've got it, Mr. Michael Snyder of the economiccollapseblog.com goes hand in hand with that sentiment, of which is dated November 21st, 2016, and is titled, When America Shall Say Peace and Safety. Of which Mr. Snyder begins by stating, millions of Americans are expecting a new golden age for America under Donald Trump. But is that what they are going to get? He says, there is always optimism when a new president is elected. But I don't think, he says, if I have ever seen anything like the euphoria that many Trump supporters are expressing right now. He further states, look, I voted for Trump too, and I want him to be successful as possible. But when Donald Trump becomes our next president on January 20th, 2017, that does not mean that all of the great problems that our nation is facing will somehow magically disappear. He says, if you listen to some people, they make it sound like America's going to experience nothing but peace, prosperity, and blessing for decades to come. I would love it if that was indeed going to be the case. But he says, unfortunately, that is simply not the truth, of which I agree with 100%, my friends. Mr. Snyder continues his thought by stating, we are currently on a path that leads to national suicide. And unless we change our ways, it isn't going to matter who's in the White House. He says, I keep hearing about how our new president is going to unify the nation. But that's going to be extremely difficult to do, considering the fact that we are now more divided than ever. In fact, he says, a brand new Gallup poll survey found that an all-time record high of 77% of all Americans believe that we are greatly divided when it comes to the most important values. He continues by sharing, I keep hearing about how we're now entering a golden age of peace and prosperity. But how is that supposed to happen when we are still butchering millions of innocent children in our abortion mills? He as well states, I keep hearing about how the economy is about to take off like a rocket. But how is that possible when we have already been on the greatest debt binge in world history? The only way we have been able to maintain our massively inflated debt-fueled standard of living is by piling up debt at a faster pace than any other generation in history. He says today we have accumulated $12 trillion in consumer debt. That's our debt out here. Corporate debt has doubled since the last financial crisis. And the national debt is rapidly approaching $20 trillion. How can Trump possibly pump up our standard of living with debt more than Obama already has done? Mr. Snyder continues by adding, I keep hearing about how we're going to make America great again. But how can we be great when we are producing more pornography than the rest of the world combined? He as well states, I keep hearing about how law and order is going to be restored. But meanwhile, chaos has already been erupting in cities all over the nations, and the far left is planning to turn Inauguration Day into a major riot. He says, I keep hearing about how things are going to go back to the way they used to be. But As I discussed in a previous article, sexually transmitted diseases are spreading at the fastest pace in decades. The percentage of births outside wedlock is more than 10 times higher than that in 1940. And approximately two out of every three, so-called is what I want to say, he says, Christian men watch pornography on a regular basis. Mr. Snyder continues by saying, I keep hearing about how we are going to drain the swamp, and yet there is no plans to even reform the Federal Reserve System, which he says, and I agree with 1,000%, is the very heart of our financial problem as a nation. He says, I keep hearing about how good judges are going to be put into the Supreme Court. But how can we trust that when our new president just said that he is fine with the Supreme Court decision that forced all 50 states to redefine the institution of marriage? What's more, he says, I keep hearing about how we are going to be an example for the rest of the world. But how can we be an example when just about every form of evil imaginable is exploding in popularity inside our own country? He as well goes on to say, I keep hearing about how our government is going to be blessed. But how can a government that gives hundreds of millions of dollars a year to Planned Parenthood be blessed? Now that Republicans have control of the White House, the Senate, and the House of Representatives, he says this is their golden opportunity to defund Planned Parenthood. He says if it doesn't happen now, it probably never will happen. And it will show what a complete and utter failure the Republican Party has become. Mr. Snyder says that we need to remember Planned Parenthood is an organization that has been caught on camera admitting that they harvest organs from the babies that they kill and that they send those organs off to the highest bidder. He says some would argue that America is already great at a lot of things. After all, the United States is number one in the world in TV watching, legal drug use and illegal drug use. We lead the world in plastic surgery, eating disorder deaths, teen pregnancy, lawyers per capita. We have the highest STD infection rate in the industrialized world, the highest divorce rate in the industrialized world, and the largest prison population on the entire planet. He further points out, we also have the most complicated tax system in the entire world, the largest trade deficit in the entire world, and the largest national debt in the entire world. He says, so if we want to make America great again, we sure have a lot of work to do. Mr. Snyder states, the complacency that I am seeing out there right now really alarms me. So many people seem to think that the battle is won because Donald Trump was victorious on election night, but that is not even close to reality. He further explains, if we do not fundamentally change course as a nation, we will not survive. And he's absolutely right. His analysis is that tinkering with tax rates, regulations, and trade agreements is not going to get the job done. So many people are acting as if we have just had a few cuts and scrapes, when the reality is what our country really needs is major heart surgery. He ends this piece by sharing, Donald Trump is not some sort of messiah. And even if he's able to accomplish every single thing that he is promising right now, it will not nearly be enough. But for the moment, millions of Americans are proclaiming peace and safety now that Donald Trump has won the election. And we shall see how it all turns out. And you know what, my friends? On that sobering note, in our last piece of the day, Mr. Snyder points out another situation that is looming going forward and will continue to prevail even after President-elect Donald Trump takes office. Can you see my passion in all this, my friends? It's about souls for me. I'm not into politics, okay? This is the word that the Lord has given me to wake people up with. This piece is dated November 20th, 2016, and is titled, "We Are Being Set Up for Higher Interest Rates, a Major Recession, and a Giant Stock Market Crash." Mr. Snyder opens this piece by sharing, "Since Donald Trump's victory on election night, we have seen the worst, listen up, my friends, the worst bond crash in 15 years. Global bond investors have seen trillions of dollars of wealth wiped out since November 8th. And analysts are warning of another tough week ahead. The general consensus in the investment community is that a Trump administration will mean much higher inflation. And as a result, investors are already, listen up, my friends, starting to demand higher interest rates. And my friends, they're going to get that probably between December 13th and 14th in just a couple of weeks from now when the feds meet to decide whether or not to raise the interest rates. I believe there's almost 100% chance that they will, and here's why. Because Mr. Snyder says, unfortunately for all of us, history has shown that higher interest rates always cause an economic slowdown. This is where we're headed, my friends, and a lot more darkness is yet to come. And this makes perfect sense, he says, because economic activity naturally slows down when it becomes more expensive to borrow money. The Obama administration has already set up the next president for a, listen up, my friends, major recession anyway. But now this bond crash threatens to bring it on sooner rather than later. Mr. Snyder at this point says, for those that are not familiar with the bond market, when yields go up, bond prices go down. When bond prices go down, that is bad news for economic growth. So we generally don't want yields to go up. He says, unfortunately, yields have been absolutely soaring over the past couple of weeks, and the yield on the 10-year Treasury note has now jumped one full percentage point since July. He continues by sharing the 10-year Treasury yield jumped to 2.36% in late trading on Friday, the highest since December of 2015, up 66 base points since the election and up one full percentage point since July. He points out the 10-year yield is at a critical juncture. In terms of reality, the first thing that might happen is a rate increase by the feds in December. After a year of flip-flopping, a slew of post-election pronouncements by Fed heads, including Ms. Yellen's relatively soon statement that she made from the last meeting, have pushed the odds of a, listen up, my friends, rate increase to 98% that they will raise them. It is almost 100% chance that they're going to raise the interest rates, is what Mr. Snyder is saying. As I noticed, he says, the other day, so many things in our financial, as I noted the other day, he says, so many things in our financial system are tied to yields on the U.S. Treasury note. He states, just look at what happened to mortgages. As Wolf Richter has noted, the average rate on 30-year mortgage is shooting into the stratosphere. Mr. Richter states, the carnage in bonds has consequences. The average interest rate of a conforming 30-year fixed mortgage as of Friday was quoted at 4.125% for top credit scores. That means if you have a really great credit score, you can get that. So that means if you don't have a great credit score, yours is going to be above 4%. And the Lord only knows how high that they're going to offer you that if they think that you possibly could even possibly pay it. That's up to, he says that's up 0.5% point from just before the election, according to Mortgage News Daily. It put the month on a short list of four worst months in more than a decade. Mr. Snyder says if mortgage rates continue to shoot higher, there will be another housing crash. He has well pointed out that rates on auto loans, credit cards, and student loans will also be affected. Throughout our economic system, it will become much more costly to borrow money, and that will inevitably slow the overall economy down. He also says why bond investors are so on edge these days is because of a statement such as the one that Steve Bannon made, which, you know, I'm going to skip over that. And I'm just going to say that, my friends, we're at the end of our show today, basically. And the time to get ready to meet the Lord is now, my friends, because there's a huge stock market crash coming. Because later on in that article, it goes on to say that when bond markets crash, as they have recently, the worst in 15 years, there's like a 99 9/10% chance that there's going to be a huge stock market crash coming right behind it. But you know what that'll do? It'll wait until Mr. Trump is in office first. So you better get prepared, because interest rates are going up. You're not going to be able to buy homes. If you have a adjustable rate on your mortgage, it's going to go up so high you're going to lose your home. There's going to be a lot of destitution in America, my friends, coming up here real soon. The days are growing darker. And my friends, there is a lot going on around the world that we don't even know about. You know, I just want to say something to you right now, because as of tomorrow in Australia, on November 24th, 2016, Australian people who bank with Citibank, it's a huge banking company, my friends, everybody knows it. Tomorrow, Citibank in Australia goes cashless. They will no longer accept cash. Right now, my friends, in India, as of the 10th of November, November 10th, 2016, India pulled a fast one on their people. They took their 500 and their 1,000 rupees, that's their money, and they abolished them. They said, these are no good anymore. Bring your money in and change it for the new money that we want you to have. My friends, the fact is that now some people will die before that money gets changed. There's lines wrapped around the cities waiting to get in to get this money, this new money, of which now they're saying there is a shortage of. My friends, many evil and dark things are about to happen on the face of this planet. And my whole message to you every week here is get ready, get ready, get ready, because the Lord Jesus Christ is coming for his own first. And then the time that is called the time of great tribulation is going to break out. It's the time of Jacob's trouble for Israel. There's going to be wars. There's going to be famines. Just read the book of Revelation. It is literal, my friends, in certain areas, and it is symbolic in others, but all the symbols and the realities lead to a very dark time called the time of great tribulation after the rapture of those who belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. And those who knew to be ready on this side of the rapture, but who were not on that side during the time of great tribulation, will be forever doomed. They will take the mark of the beast unless they decide then they want to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, and they will lose their heads for it, because they won't take the mark of the beast. Because if you take the mark of the beast, you will be forever doomed. And with that said, my friends, let me pray, and it's the end for today. Dear Lord God, I come before your throne today, and I ask that you would open the eyes and ears of your people to hear and to see spiritually what you're saying, an urgent an urgent call. We're in the danger zone. We're about to go off a cliff, spiritually speaking, in this country and around the world, Lord. I ask that everybody would come to you today. It's between you and them. They must come to you and ask, Lord Jesus, for you to forgive them of their sins, that they know that they're sinners in need of a Savior. And Lord Jesus, you are faithful and true to do that which you've promised. And what you have promised is that if they will come with a broken and contrite heart and spirit before you and bow down, spiritually speaking, and ask you to forgive them of their sins, you will do it. You will forgive them of their sins, and you will bring them into the kingdom of God in the here and now by the word and the blood and the power and anointing of your Holy Spirit. And they'll be ready and watching and waiting for the time that is shortly to take place. My friends, do it today. Lord Jesus, we love you, praise you, and give you all glory. Thank you, Father God, for your gift of the Lord Jesus Christ, for our Savior. And Holy Spirit, have your way in this day in all the lives of your people. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Until next week, my friends, shalom, shalom, and happy Thanksgiving, and it's a wrap.
I believe that we are living in the days John wrote about. The end times are upon us, and of that there is no doubt. Get your mind out of the world. Take your Bible off the shelf. Read the book of Revelations for yourself.
Join Streams in the Desert Live each Wednesday at 4 p.m. on Star Worldwide Networks, where your host, Pastor Dana, will examine the headlines of our daily news in light of Bible prophecy. Streams in the Desert Live thanks you for listening, for your phone calls, emails, and as always, your generous love offerings in support of this internet radio broadcast. You may also visit or email Streams in the Desert Ministries, home of Streams in the Desert Live, by way of the website or Facebook page, which can be easily found on the StarWorldwideNetworks.com Streams in the Desert landing page. Until next week, Streams in the Desert Live bids you all much love in Jesus, and that the peace of the Lord Jesus be unto you all now and always. And remember, if you're not serving Jesus now, what makes you think you'll be doing it later in heaven?